May the words of my mouth, may the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. I want to begin with two observations. Number one, I am a man of unclean lips. By God's standards, I do not belong in this pulpit. By God's standards, I'm grateful for his grace that was given as Christ apportioned it. Number two, Matthew Rivers, while I thank you for asking me to be your preacher tonight, I know that you could have done a whole lot better in picking up a preacher. I can think of at least a half dozen people present here who could do you a whole lot better job than I. Be that as it may, let me say that I'm incredibly honored to be your preacher at your ordination. Thank you for this opportunity. To all of you who came tonight, to all of you to came to join in this celebration, to our bishops, to Bishop Lawrence, to Bishop Hathaway, to the clergy of this diocese, so many of you came tonight, to the St. John's family, I thank you. I do. Thank you for agreeing to uphold, to do all in your power to uphold this man in his ministry. Where is Henrietta? She's running late. Well, I have a note here that I'm going to say, and you can tell her what I said here, and that is, I want to thank her for making this possible tonight. Okay. I've had many people tell me that, I'd like to tell anybody who will listen, that my ministry has been the blessing that it's been because Sylvia Burwell is the blessing to me, and you got the same thing with your wife, so thank her for me. Matthew, to my way of thinking, this evening will be the third most important commitment you've ever made in your life. The first most important one was the I do that you said at your confirmation when you promised to follow Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. The second was the I will that you said when you took Henrietta as your bride. The third most important commitment will come in a few minutes when Bishop Lawrence examines you in the presence of Christ and you commit yourselves to this awesome responsibility, this lifetime commitment to full service to our Lord. Let's take a look at this thing called priesthood to which you're declaring your readiness, your willingness to enter into. The scriptures chosen for tonight clearly speak to the subject, and I believe the first thing they tell us is about the calling. This is not a job. This is a calling. Ordained ministry, and the priesthood in particular, is not a job. Matthew, you simply can't treat it like one. I know you won't, but you can't. In our Old Testament lesson, we read of Isaiah's calling by God, and we see Isaiah's reaction to that call. It's verse 8, it's the last verse. Then I heard a voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" And what does Isaiah say? He says, "Well, I might be interested, but do I have to work on weekends? What's your insurance package look like?" That's what he said, right? No, that's not what he said. He says two words. He says, "Send me." Send me. This is not a job, Matthew. You don't get to pick when you serve God or where or how long. It's not a job. Priesthood is a calling. Vocare in the Latin, first person singular, I call. The I is God. The Lord God Almighty has called you. He has chosen you, Matthew Rivers. He selected you to be a priest for his people. And you get to say two words in response to that call. Two words. Send me. Tonight we celebrate your call with a glorious ordination. Your friends, your family, your fellow presbyters and deacons are all here to wish you well. But in the years to come, I'm here to tell you there'll be many days ahead that will not be glorious. Much of what you do as a priest will remain thankless. You will counsel people who won't always appreciate what you've done. Sometimes you will speak and be misunderstood. You will love and be rejected. You'll save lives and be forgotten. You will keep confidences and be betrayed by the very people that you take into your confidence. You will be accused of being what you are not, and you will not be recognized for what you are. You will make mistakes that will way too long be remembered, and you'll have victories That will be way too quickly forgotten. You'll turn out the lights. You'll lock up buildings. You'll move chairs. You'll move tables. You'll carry out the garbage. You'll maybe even clean commodes. You will seldom see the results of your work. And as often as not, when the day is done, you won't know the day is done, because it isn't. This is your calling. It wasn't all that long ago that I saw a commercial on television for a stock brokerage firm, and in it, a young man about your age was saying how he was determined that he wasn't going to be like his dad. Said his father worked hard in a factory, and he retired at 65, at age 65, and he died at age 68. The young man said he was going to retire while he was still young enough to enjoy life. But then I remember about 20 years ago, I saw Billy Graham on television. He was on the Larry King Live show. That was 20 years ago. Billy was preaching at the time still, and he was on Larry King to promote an upcoming crusade that he was getting ready to do. I remember so distinctly, Larry said, "Billy, when are you going to retire?" And Billy Graham looked puzzled. "Larry," he said, "Larry, I've looked in the Bible, and for the life of me, I can't find one servant of the Lord who ever got to retire. I don't reckon I ever will." And he didn't. He never did. Matthew, are you willing to spend the rest of your life in service to the Lord? Not because you have to, but because you want to. Like Isaiah said in the year that King Uzziah died, God has said to you, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And tonight you raise your hand. Here I am, Lord. Send me. This is not a job, Matthew, and you can't treat it like a job. It's a calling, and it's all about the calling. The scriptures tonight also show us that it's all about the message. The message. You, Matthew, get to carry that message into the world in your preaching and in your teaching and in your presence with your people. It's all about the message. And what is the message? Hope. Oh, yes, hope. With Jesus Christ, there's always hope, because the good shepherd laid down his life only to take it up again. Good Friday was followed by Easter. There is hope. Every Sunday, we priests have the opportunity to speak the truth in love, to prepare God's people for works of service. This opportunity begins with the good news, the truth that God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. A plan called abundant life, life lived to the full. But if he has a plan for abundant life, why do so many people not experience abundant life? Because as Romans 3 points out, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Human sin separates us and keeps us from loving God and enjoying him forever. And Romans 5 reminds us, while we were still in sin, Jesus died for us. His death on the cross restored the right relationship with God and humanity. No one else and nothing else could do what Jesus has done. He is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. And so when we receive Christ into our lives through faith, it is by grace that you have been saved, not by works. That's Ephesians 2, as you well know. When we make Jesus our Lord, he lives in us and we in him, and we begin to experience this abundant life, the life God wants for us, life lived to the full. Have you ever heard that before? Do you know how long it took me to tell that good news just now? You know how long it took me to tell that good news message? 1 minute. I timed it. 1 minute. Matthew, every time you preach, you can take a lot more than 1 minute. If you were on my staff, I'd give you 14 minutes. How about that? Heavens. My point is, it's all about the message. God's great message to the world is that we are loved and that there is hope for the future. It's all about the call. It's all about the message. It was 35 years ago now. 35 years ago, I was in Ambridge, Pennsylvania. And Terry Kelshaw, one of my seminary professors, Terry grabbed me by both arms and stopped me in the hall like this. He said, John, God has laid on my heart to tell you this. John, preach the word. I said, I will, Terry. I will. Almost a wild-eyed look in his eye. He said, shook me. He said, John, listen to me. Preach the word, John. Preach the good news every single Sunday. You do it and your church will grow. I have. It did. He was right. Matthew, listen to me. Listen to me. Preach the word. Matthew, thirdly, it's all about the people. It's all about the people. In just a few moments from now, the bishop will remind you of this fact in his charge, and he's going to say to you, he's going to say, remember how great this treasure committed to your charge. They are the sheep of Christ for whom he shed his blood. The church and congregation whom you will serve is his bride, his body. It's all about the people. My grandmother used to say that people don't care what you know until they know that you care. In your ministry, my brother, in all of your life, let them know you care, because you do. I know you. It's all about the people. I don't need to tell you that there is a world right out there, a world of hurt. You see it every day. Shattered dreams, broken promises, worry, fear, anxiety, addictions, people barely hanging on, people wondering if there is a God. Jesus says, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen, and I must bring them also. It's the most amazing thing. If you'll begin each day by asking the Lord to let you minister to his people, guess what? He will. He'll put those sheep in his pasture, in your path. Jesus calls you to minister to his people. It's all about the people. At my ordination, Rick Belser told me about a time that he was out shrimping off the dock in the marsh in his home behind John's Island. When he wasn't looking, one of his daughters went out into the marsh grasses by herself, and you know, pluff mud, it sticks, okay? She wound up getting herself stuck to her waist in pluff mud. Stuck to her waist, and she couldn't get out, and she hollered, Daddy, Daddy, help me! He starts coming out there, and she says, Daddy, Daddy, don't come out here, you'll get stuck too! It's a good analogy of ministry. Mud of life smells, and it'll get all over you. But God calls you to step out in it and restore the stuck and the drowning. The Good Shepherd has called you to minister among his sheep. He has called you to pastor, to shepherd in the best sense of the word. It's all about the people. Love the people whom the Lord puts in your path. Pastor them. Share in their joys and in their sorrows. Equip these saints for the work of ministry, so that the body of Christ can be built up until we all reach unity in faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And now, my brother, would you please stand? Matthew, God in his providence is ordaining you to be a priest for him. Understand, Matthew, this is a call on your life. It is not a job. The Lord doesn't need and he doesn't want hired hands. It's all about the calling. Matthew, in his providence, God has gifted you with an ability to preach and to teach. And you're a good preacher and a good teacher. And as you gain the wisdom of years, you're going to be great. Remember that it's all about the message. It always has been, it always will be. Preach the word in season and out. And Matthew, it's all about the people. Christianity at its core is a relationship. All eternity will be a relationship. Pastor the people God gives you. Take your cue from the Good Shepherd. Know them, love them, just as your Father knows and loves you. To each one of us, God has given grace, as Christ apportioned it. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Prepare God's people for the works of ministry. Speak the truth in love. And in all things, may we grow up into him who is the head. That is what this is all about. May God bless you in your ministry, Matthew. May he bless you in the years to come. For the ministry he lets us share, for the grace he gives us, and for the cross by which we have been redeemed, we can all say, thanks be to God. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.